Hi, this is Tom Payne, otherwise known as Jesus from The Walking Dead, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through.
Hey guys, it's Jenna Elfman from Fear the Walking Dead. I play Laura. No, I play Naomi. No, I play June. I play June on Fear the Walking Dead. And you're listening to the Fear the Walking Dead talk through on Golden Spiral Media.
That was awesome.
Fear the Walking Dead talk through episode 59. Is anybody out there review?
Welcome to Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through, a fan podcast dedicated to Fear the Walking Dead on AMC. Join us each week as we discuss the characters, story developments, and theories of Fear the Walking Dead. Send in your thoughts about each episode by calling 304-837-2278. Or by visiting our feedback page at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. And now, here's your hosts.
Hey, survivors, and welcome to another fine episode of Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
And I'm Mark.
And tonight, we will be covering Season 5, Episode 8. The mid-season finale. Is anybody out there? But before we get started, we have a very important announcement. So important that I'm not allowed to use any sound effects right now. Anyway, I had to make a joke out of it. But in all seriousness, we have something very important to tell you guys. We thought after 5 years, the four of us, namely Kyle, Mark, Ruthie, and myself, were ready to strike out on our own. And as a result, we are leaving the Golden Spiral Media Network. We would like to thank Daryl for the opportunity to podcast with GSM over the last 5 years. And thank him for also allowing us to take our podcast with us. So going forward, the podcasts that we do will be a part of our new network, which is called Talk Through Media, and will consist of the following podcasts: The Walking Dead Talk Through and Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through, the Star Trek Discovery Podcast, a brand new podcast, which is coming soon, called the Star Trek Picard Podcast, or something similar. We haven't finalized it yet. And more podcasts to come. So we are excited to start our new endeavor, and we plan to have everything set up by the time we return in 3 weeks for the Fear the Walking Dead mid-season premiere. So it is worth saying that if you listen to us through our podcast feed, through a podcast client of choice, you probably will not see any interruption in our podcast. But if you listen to us through the Golden Spiral Media all-inclusive feed, or you currently listen to us via goldenspiralmedia.com, the way that you will consume the podcast going forward will change. So we want to just give you warning of that. We'll have more information. Stay tuned for more. All right, so with that behind us, we first have additional feedback for Season 5, Episode 7 of Fear the Walking Dead, was titled Still Standing. So, Simon and Rick, let's hear.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
All right, so we have some feedback from our friend from the internet, Aaron. So, Mark, why don't you start us off?
Well, she starts off saying, still love Jenna's intro every time. I was blowing things up. Kyle with the priorities, smiley face. I do agree with him that rating counting is going to have to change because otherwise you'll see good shows go down before they should because people do binge if you drop the entire season at once. and they do TiVo to watch later because there's so much we want to see and there are apps. And are all the apps being counted or just the network show airs on? How much does Twitter buzz count for series given that's more likely audience numbers than a magazine? Who may talk about it that gets you critical attention? Critics and audiences don't always agree on projects, so are you going for awards, views, or both? I think determines kind of who you gear things towards. Not everyone has Nielsen boxes either for their TV, so you need to ways just to count every fans to maximize your numbers. The way to view TV has definitely changed. Thus, I think the holy grail of live viewings has to take a step down to be part of the larger picture now instead of defining numbers. If it's about ads or networks, you can do ads anywhere. We all deal with them on apps now. So live viewing isn't the go-to determination, as Kyle said, for how a show is arguably doing.
Yeah, that's true. There's with Nielsen, there's the Live Plus 3, the Live Plus 7, and I believe there's even a Live Plus 30, which I don't know if you can find those on the web anywhere, but I think they started measuring that as well. There is a company called Parrot Analytics. I believe they're out of New Zealand, but they're, you know, pretty much global at this point. They cover all the major markets and they do something called demand expressions. And that counts basically as shows demand on social media. So Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, I think even, anything that is, and probably YouTube as well, I think. I'm not sure how they measure stuff, but I do know it uses any social media that's out there, and it comes up with what they call demand expressions. And like, for example, when Game of Thrones was going strong this summer, the ratings for it on via Parrot Analytics were like through the roof, like something like 350 million at its peak. And I think Stranger Things in terms of streaming stuff was also way up there, not nearly as high, but like was well over 100 million, I think, when the episodes dropped.
Yeah.
So Nielsen doesn't cover that, at least they don't currently, but they do cover. That's why I was kind of pausing, because I do believe they're trying to, or maybe they plan to buy Parrot out. I don't know. They're mostly known, though, for the Live Plus, the Live Plus same day, which is typically the ratings that everyone hears. The Live Plus 3 day, which covers, you know, on demand and DVR and things like that. And the Live Plus 7 day, which is similar. And I'm not sure how like stuff like AMC Premiere gets counted. I think it gets counted, but I'm not sure under what. So,
right. Yeah. It's just, you know, things have changed. Exactly. It's like, there's just so many ways you can watch stuff and I talk about it. So I kind of look at the ratings that, you know, you are seeing. I still kind of like, buying that as like, oh, the show is just not doing good.
And it's worth saying that, you know, with possible maybe exception of Game of Thrones, ratings have deteriorated across the board for practically every show out there. It's a symptom of changing times and how mm-hmm. people consume their media and how much media there is to consume. I think there's like a record, like 500 shows available now or something like that, some ridiculous number. So, and more, you know, streaming channels and more just channel ways of, you know, watching those shows, and things like Disney Plus and, you know, DC Universe, CBS All Access. NBC Universal, they're coming up with something very soon. They're, all of this stuff is changing. And of course, Hulu and Netflix and Amazon Prime. So streaming is just continuing and it's just going to keep changing, I guess. Mm-hmm. All right, Kyle, all right. Your turn.
All right, she continues. They probably know how to drive the Goodyear blimp next season on Fear. Ha.
Yeah.
I'm still giving you this for the last name pronunciation, Brian.
All right. So it is Althea Sefcik Pragacki. And that was my first attempt today.
Yes, I will vouch for that. And she gave you a little trophy, like emoji.
Oh, so, well, then I have to say, I get a trophy. Anyway.
All right, she continues. The storyline is always slower. I put nothing past this group of writers post-Madison. Thus, if they kill Alicia, they might as well wrap that night on Fear and just slip everyone over to The Walking Dead and finish their stories there, because I don't know many Fear fans who are going to still watch post that, given Fear was about the Clark family and their group dealing with this outbreak. So if you kill the last Clark, there's no more Fear. No offense to Strand, who's an honorary Clark, but the concept really is dead at that point, and they're just another group of survivors who the last Fear OG ran into. I don't know how many viewers are still here just because they're Alicia fans who followed from the 100, but I know she's got a decent amount, so if you take out Alicia, you're asking for your show to die. It was bad enough viewer numbers-wise when Nick went, and then when they offed Madison, they can't afford to lose Alicia, which you'd think they'd know, but I also thought they wouldn't kill Madison off either. So again, anything is possible. Still, story-wise, if Alicia dies, that really is the end of Fear to me, based on the concept it started with. And again, they should just merge because it's just The Walking Dead Southwest edition at that point. I hope she doesn't die, but again, I also didn't think they'd kill Madison or make Alicia Morgan's puppy, essentially, either. So I'm not holding my breath. No, I completely am like in agreement, and that's what I feel like probably most of us have struggled when season 4 happened. It's just like the original concept of the show and characters, it all changed. And you know, it's not that I don't like new people, because I like new people, but I just, you know, it's like we had, you know, we followed the Clarks, you know, and then just, you know, even Daniel, you know, I feel like he's OC, you know, an OG, because he was there in the very, very beginning. And, you know, Strand, I would even kind of, you know, bring on board, you know, as an OG too, because he was there in the first season. So it's like, that was kind of our little family group, with the Clarks being, you know, the main point. But
yeah, I mean, he's kind of like, it's funny that he's got a skid mark now, because he's kind of like an old cat. Like he goes out in the neighborhood and sometimes you won't see him for a week.
Until he comes in. Got any scraps? Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, but he definitely is an OG. I mean, he wasn't in the first episode, but I mean, come on.
Still, first season.
But we consider Strand to be an OG, and he wasn't on there until episode 5. So I would definitely consider consider Daniel an OG.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, we'll just have to see where this all goes. And yeah, it's like, you know, there is a season 6 that, you know, been announced. So it's, you know, we don't know. And it's, we just have to wait and see. And then, I feel like that's where I think most people are thinking that it's going to merge or just completely disappear. And then, you know, like, we'll just have the main show and the movies and whatever that whole, you know, the third series will just, that third series might not even have anything to pertain to anything, but we'll know.
I mean, for that matter, all we know is that maybe one more season of this show and one more season of the main show, and some of the characters from both shows may end up on this third show.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know, but, anything's possible at this point. And that might be why, you know, spoiler, at least in terms of the news later, that the show has been renewed for a sixth season. But we don't know where things fit going forward after that. So yeah. It's my turn to continue. So it is with this. She says, "What is this wow you speak of? Did you mean she's a paladin? Smiley face." Yes, of course, that's World of Warcraft, which I know nothing about, except and, that it's kind of Dungeons and Dragons-like.
Yeah.
So.
And anybody can be a tank. It's not just a paladin, but it's funny because a paladin was my character. Wow.
Ugh. Hearing Kyle talk about Alicia just makes me miss her so much and sad to see her locked down as she is. Why is she not the leader? Oh, yeah, Morgan. I roll. I'll be that person because this annoys me to no end. What is the point of Morgan? Really? You need a leader for the group? Got it. Hi, Alicia. And Alicia needs backup there, you think, because that's a stressful position. This Dory guy seems to do good motivational speeches, and he's good at shooting. You want humor to break up the doom and gloom, you say? We got Strand. Note, Strand also comes with the handy feature of being able to sometimes talk you out of a situation when you've run out of bullets. A medic, because those are important. Support saves the tanks, you guys. June. A scout who can gather resources ahead of time and help map out safe routes to your next stop. Introducing the return of Luciana. What about someone to do the dirty work and get information from those you hold hostage in the name of camp security? Oh, look, it's a reporter named Althea. Low-voiced, broody male with a tragic past. Hey, Daniel. And that's, what is that? A
hand wave. Wave.
Hand wave? Oh, is that what that is? Okay. The kid, Charlie. Again, why do we need Morgan? And to be fair, why do we need Dwight? Fear succeeded for 3 years on its own. Why push for the Walking Dead characters to come in and stay now? How come no Fear person has popped up on The Walking Dead yet to have fans ask, does this mean they're the sole survivor? Where are the others if not? If you're really into crossovers, not takeovers. Oh, does he Zen comments, you say? John does that too, thanks. If he's not feeling up to it that day, I'm sure any other character could do that or maybe tell a story from their past because such thing as character exploration beyond one person exists. What's that? He does neat stick tricks. Have you seen Alicia with a butterfly knife? Oh, and this isn't even factoring in Wendell or Sarah, who I forget even are in this series half the time due to the Morgan focus. They can do Zen moments too if John is busy. It may just be me, but Morgan rivals Chris for the worst thing to ever be on the show. Ooh, that is harsh.
Woof.
Even in her most focus on Madison moments, it still felt like the other characters mattered and got progress to things. But now again, Alicia is kind of Morgan's puppy, doing everything he says, even though they don't know him or have a reason to fully trust him. Everyone just accepts his first plan as gospel instead of posing their own. Characters don't mingle anymore for some reason. I miss Fear. Okay. The old Fear, obviously, yeah. Not the current Fear. I get what you're saying. And we miss that Fear too. In some ways, I think Morgan is kind of filling the role of Madison, but not being a mom. Mm-hmm.
I think he's more like a cheerleader than anything in riling up the troops to get them together.
It kind of. It's like Coach Lombardi or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on.
Well, she continues on saying, "Bad bet, Kyle. Season finale, they're fighting a zombie radioactive round tail horned lizard, big laughing smiley emoji. And she says, I'm with Brian. If they kill Alicia, this thing is done. I love Al, and I'd want to see her still because I think she's interesting, but I wouldn't talk about this show, and I would just watch her stuff and fluff off the rest. I'd want to support Coleman and Deny because they're OGs, depending on how you define OG. But I don't know if I could do that by watching this show anymore because it would just have hurt me too much by that point. If ever there was a pass, I'd give them to use it saving Alicia because without her, Fear is done. Also, you get a free pass to bring back Madison, of course, without explaining how she's back. But they don't want to use that card, sadly.
Yeah, I heard on another podcast, might have been the Walking Dead cast.
Yeah, I just finished that up today.
They were saying that originally the showrunner wanted Madison to become a villain.
Yep.
And that would be interesting at this point. Can you imagine, like, if she was essentially like Negan? You know, it would have been interesting. And, you know, I guess in some ways I could have seen her make that turn. But yeah, I mean, still to this day, when I think of what the show in season 5 would be like if they had kept her character, I still think it would have been a better show. And, you know, they could have still brought on Morgan, and, you know, he could have been like the role of, you know, Cliff Curtis, Travis.
Yeah.
You know, still basically fulfilled the same role. And I think it still would have worked. And they would have still gotten changes in characters from the death of Nick because, you know, he wanted to leave anyway. So, you know, and maybe they would have, I don't know, someone probably would have, at least one character wouldn't have joined. Maybe they would have killed off, oh, I don't know, Luciana.
She would have just left.
Yeah.
Into the sunset.
And of course, you know, I say that to just in terms of like saving budget. But anyway, I still look at it as would have been a stronger show.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And if they didn't bring Madison back as a villain, they could always have her in the show and then bring back Tobias and make him the villain.
And no body, no death. I mean, she has been presumed dead, and they've said that she's dead, but there's still an opportunity there. They could bring her back, and I don't think it's going to happen. But it still could happen, and it would be cool. But
yeah.
I don't want to get my hopes up, or anybody else for that matter. Let's move on.
All right. She continues on. I'll take Al surviving because it fits her character. And again, she's interesting because of all her skills and approach to things over John and June, honestly. I feel at some point June will go out because she's a medic and they love to strip survivors of fear to see what they do in response. I could be wrong, and we see what the medic does when there's no supplies left. But if you want to hurt a group, taking their medic would do it. Whoa, tap those brakes, Brian. Season 4 did not start off well. Starting off well would have been doing the damn, but we didn't get that. That said, it didn't go downhill fast because it was all over the place in time, and the reunions felt like they took too long, and then it turns out they killed two major characters, and they did the whole Morgan takeover, and 4B was just white-hot garbage beyond one or two good elements, mainly John Dory for a lot of the people, and I'd say Athea for me. Season 5 has been better than Season 4, but it still isn't the Fear we knew and loved.
Well, I will disagree. Now, I think that the show took a really wrong turn, but the start of it for season 4, I mean, I was really intrigued at the start.
Oh yeah.
You know, the first 5 episodes I thought were great. I mean, there were, you know, a couple little, I was questioning June / Naomi / Laura at the time. And I certainly was kind of fed up with her by the next episode. But those first five episodes I thought were top notch. They were, I was very intrigued and really, really wondering where the things were going. But once we made that turn, that's where I was just, you know, and it was, I still remember to this day, you know, because I was getting ready to move here / in process of moving here when those last two episodes dropped, missing those last two episodes before the mid-season. And just like thinking, oh my God, I could have talked 2 hours by myself on both those episodes, you know, but yeah, missing those. Like I was, it's just as well, I think, that I didn't get to podcast on it until August because I was just stewing mad for quite a while there, you know, that they killed off Madison. I was not happy. And for that matter, I'm still kind of sore at them for that decision. All right, let's move on, and I will continue. She says, here are the issues to me with this season. Always Morgan, because he's pointless. I don't think she likes Morgan.
No, I don't think so either.
And has brought nothing interesting to the series. In fact, they kill interesting Madison to get him his spot, so it's a double dislike on him. I'm just going to stop there to say, okay, we get it. We do. I still like Morgan, though. I don't know if he's as good of a fit in this as, you know, Madison would have been, but I cannot fault Morgan or Lenny James for the portrayal. The only thing, the major thing I can point at again is like stupid stuff like time and distance and hand waving things. And, you know, the plot is continuing to be the sore point for me. Not so much this episode, but just in general, the pain points for me have been plot, not character. I think I don't have a problem with Morgan. So the group doesn't mix up. For example, again, June is usually with John, even though there are consistently at least three other people around she can interact with. He hasn't been around her the last few episodes. I mean, he trying to communicate with her, but he hasn't been around until, of course, you know, he had a candy wrapper. Alicia is still following Morgan's words like they're the only ones out there. She didn't even listen to her own mother this much. I guess that's true. Mm-hmm. True, Madison was obsessed with saving Nick, but it just shows Alicia knows how to handle things too. So why is she always following him? They act like Morgan is the only one who can do speeches. Last I checked, everyone could still speak. So why aren't other characters giving motivational bits to others? There's no backstory progression for characters like Al, really. She's had one episode compared to John Dory, who we probably know the most on, and others of the new group, I guess she means. And there's no future profession for everyone. It's like this season, they're just going from one action set moment to the next with a little dialogue here and there.
And she continues on. To be fair, there were interesting plot elements to the season, such as having to consider radiation because you went to a zone that had meltdown due to no one watching it. But there's no drama over that really until the mid-season point, once it's meltdown. If they had characters asking June how much radiation can they take before they're screwed, it would be something as a medical person she should be able to guess a number at least, or bottom line say, you know, maybe or may only want to be at Z or X location for 5 minutes. If they showed how Matt's character got everyone to leave the base so he could walk and take it, that would be something or show what he's doing with it during episodes to keep that plus mind. If some of the kids had stayed to make that plot not feel like a filler in the end, it would have been something, but we didn't get that. It's a good setup with just meh payoff for the most part this season, and that's an issue. Yes, they have good character stuff compared to action moments, but the problem is they don't have a lot of them for how many characters there are, compared to how many walking scenes we have. I don't know how much dead space has been spent this season on looking shots or walking shots or just staring into silence, but I'm pretty sure you could have cut off half the time from each moment and thus been enough to give Sarah and or Wendell a few lines. So I remember they exist more than just at the very end of a recap, as it were. Decent story pitches, poor payoff, I feel is the theme of this season. Still, it's 100 times better than the dumpster of that was 4B. I honestly felt dumber for having watched the final or finale. It was so bad.
Goodness. All right, she continues. If I had to speak on each season so far, I would say season one, slow but interesting. Season two, just die already, Chris. Interesting family stuff. Yay, Chris is dead. Okay, overall, you can tell they're getting in a groove. Season three, good bad guys and conflict and the dam. Such a good finale that will hype you so easily for the next season. And season four, the season of furious fan rage. And now season five, meh. It's not season four, but it also not the show we can't wait to see each week, either past a few certain characters. Character importance varies by fan. I honestly don't need a believable way to save Alicia. I just need her not dead to watch this. You think, how could they screw up so bad again? But then again, they killed Madison, so their decision-making isn't great unless the goal is to kill the show, because, again, killing Alicia will finish the series off if the rating drop doesn't do it first. Yeah, I'm hopeful that I think at this point I'm still, you know, going to watch the show. Obviously, I'm still going to podcast about it, but I just, you know, I'm like, I kind of feel that I know where they're headed, and so I hopefully they can make the story better, you know, give the characters more, you know, to do, to grow. And even if it is at the end, something happens and they're all dead or they all go off somewhere else or blah, blah, blah. It's like, that's, I just want the payoff to be good.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Aaron. And we got one more bit of feedback, and this is from Todd from Ohio. He says, okay, I missed the deadline, but maybe it's because somehow I get to watch the new episodes on Saturday morning, so I have to hold my tongue until it hits the rest of the group. Oh, it's probably because he watches it via AMC Premiere, I guess, mm-hmm. which we, Mark and I, do as well. So,
yep.
You know, the only thing I have to say, which you can throw in next week or not, whichever, is that I really don't think that was just oil that splattered on Alicia, and it makes me very nervous for her future. But that could be a fake out from producers. Liking Morgan, and I want to call her Glenda, but I know that's wrong. The girl with the generator. Oh, Grace. Not sure how I feel about Dwight and John. Okay, again, since I got the notification late, this is just for the group, and if you want to include it as a late edition or next week, that's fine. Okay. So, yeah, well, you know, we were all kind of nervous about Alicia. So, but more on that in a few minutes. Mm-hmm. All right. So finally, we get to this week's mid-season finale, season 5, episode 8, which is titled, Is Anybody Out There? Written by Michael Alimo. And I talked about him in a previous episode. He is co-executive producer this season, and you may know that last name because he is actually Gul Dukat's son. His father, Mark Alaimo, played Gul Dukat on Star Trek Deep Space Nine. And that's probably his best known role. Incredible performance on that show. Great villain. Directed by co-executive producer Michael E. Satrazimus, basically the directing producer on the show. He directs most, I should say, not most of, but more than anybody else on the show. Description is, up against the clock, Morgan, Grace, and Alicia work to buy time. Dory and Dwight race against the elements. Sarah and Wendell get help from an unexpected source. All right, Mark, what did you think of Is Anybody Out There?
Well, I give it 9 out of 10 panic attacks while watching Wendell get to the extension cord on the generator.
Yeah.
I was at my wit's end at that point. I was like, please don't. Please, no, no.
Yeah. Yeah, scary for sure. I gave it a 7.5 Red Rover walkers trying to catch their plane out of 10.
I had a hard time figuring out what to call this one, but I heard this again and that reminded me of it. 9 of the 10 worst beers I've ever tasted in my life. So I like this one. I thought it was better than pretty much everything, or tied for the best of this half season. So it's good. Wasn't perfect. Certainly not more than a 9, but it was decent. All right, listener ratings. Mark, what have you got?
Well, Steve from Oklahoma City gives it 9 out of 10. Someone finally said it. More in my voicemail.
All right, Deanna from Detroit, she gives it an 8 out of 10. Commercial interruptions, especially when you thought they were over, only to go right back to commercials. Angry face, angry face, angry face. Or it looks like she's cussing.
Yeah. And I'll just say, the benefits of AMC Premiere. Yeah. Whitney from Oklahoma City gives it simply 7 out of 10.
Glennis from Toronto says, 10 out of 10, Logan's Run, quote unquote, and the Dick Squad.
Wow, 10.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's high praise.
All right. Well, LT from NC gave it a 7.75 out of 10 OSHA violations, or Wendell needed gaffer's tape.
What is an OSHA violation, or OSHA? What is that?
Oh, it's housing? A workplace scenario okay. For safety. So, yeah, we generally I have to do that at work where I put gaffer's tape down on, or put blankets down, or, you know, things of that nature.
Gotcha. Aaron from the internet. She says, I'd give this week a solid 7 out of 10 because, as always, there's too much Morgan for me personally. And I took a point off for John and Dwight making it back in the last second because, while we knew they would be on the plane, it was still a stretch to think they made it there being that far off. Mm-hmm. All right. So, yeah. All right. So, let's move on to Awesome Sauce. All right, Mark, why don't you start it off?
Well, Aaron from the internet says, without a question, it was the Madison mentions. Now, if only they'd bring her back, not as a zombie, that would be the most awesome of sauces to awesome.
All right, next, Steve from Oklahoma City, his awesome sauce is Morgan, the sensei offering to teach Alicia his calmness. Love Matt Fuhrer's response to Sarah asking him to help. So cold, only to return at the end with a different demeanor.
And I would say if she just miraculously showed up, she would be a lot like two characters from a certain trailer that was premiered on Saturday. Star Trek Picard, in case you don't understand the question, but there are a couple of shockers there.
Oh yeah.
Yes, and I loved it. Deanna from Detroit, she says, the Christmas light runway landing, Wendell saves the day.
Glennis from Toronto says, the planes take off preparations with John and Dwight's dramatic entrance and the just-in-time Christmas lights landing. She also says, the lighting of the runways sort of harking back to that time in World War One and World War Two, with fighters and bombers coming back from a sortie and having to land at night with often damaged aircraft.
Mm. Yeah, I could understand that one.
She says, Wendell saving the day with plugging the generator back in again after the clumsy Walker tripped over the cable, and keeping low when the aircraft swooped overhead. That opening acoustic version of Depeche Mode's Personal Jesus, Reach Out and Touch Me, was pure awesomeness. I'll be trying to work that out on my guitar.
All right, Whitney from Oklahoma City, her awesome sauce is, I still love the universe and will always continue with Fear the Walking Dead, even though I have criticism. It still has great actors, too. Awesome sauce is finally, we are moving forward, and some storylines can be closed. Also, Daniel's return and Skidmark, I love them both.
And reading that, I wonder if that was to be part of a rating, kind of. But we got it in anyway, so we won't move it. LT from NC has a few. He says, the scene where Wendell low crawled to the generator, that was one of my yell at the TV moments, and I have to give it up for the actor and the stuntman for making that scene work. Skidmark! And I don't know if you guys watched Talking Dead, if you remembered the Talking Dead existed. But it was on again this week, finally, after a 6-week hiatus. And it was funny to hear the story of how they named Skidmark, because originally they called the cat in the scripts head as a placeholder. And I guess one of the editors came up with the idea of calling him Skidmark. So anyway, I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
John and June. Well, I have that feeling this will fall under the big list of don'ts in The Walking Dead. It was a happy, hopeful thing. Daniel to the rescue. I was glad to see him coming back around to help out. And his last point, I was glad to see Alicia getting a shower at Grace's truck. While the lingering fear of how many rads she took will come up again, at least she managed to make it out. Yes, she did.
Yeah.
All right, Mark, what do you have for awesome sauce?
First part would be Sarah standing up to Logan. She has heart and strength instead of just a character that was brought in for comedic, you know, thought, or just a comedic character. Her proposition to Logan was really genuine, and I loved it. Next part would be John and June's little engagement on the plane. As corny as it was, I loved it. Plus, at the end, when they get off the plane and John states he has to excuse himself to go puke. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
The next part would be Dwight's persistence to do good and to help the group, something that was taken from the main show from what Daryl stated to him, to make things right. So he's just continuing on his own journey within the show. And obviously, there are some people that don't watch The Walking Dead and just watch Fear. They don't know that.
Yeah.
Next part would be Wendell. Wendell! I love that Wendell did not die. He saved everyone in his heroics. That was hard on him, and I can tell when he was shooting it. I applaud him for his work. Thanks to the actor for going over the top, because somebody who's handicapped like that, yeah, they have all that upper strength, but grinding on the floor, I felt it. And when Chill talked about it on the Talking Dead, they made him do it again. And yeah. I felt so bad, but I have to applaud him for that, because that was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely was. And, yeah, it's not easy to crawl, especially like that. All right, Kyle, what do you have?
My awesome sauce was at the end, the reunion of the whole group is like Alicia seeing Daniel again And it was like, after all this time and everything that she's been through, and to see a true, like a truly friendly face from her past. And, you know, it's like Daniel's basically family to her. So it's like that whole scene of just her light up and, you know, seeing him and knowing, it's not like they've been, Alicia at this whole point had no idea that Daniel was around. So I think that was just a cool scene.
Yeah. I made me wonder, like, how come they didn't know that?
Well,
you would think, but, like, Strand could have told her while they were on the plane or something.
Or no, you're right. And it's just, we never saw anything like that. And it was just, yeah. Well, I guess he was too busy flying the balloon.
I guess, yeah.
like dealing with all that to be like, oh, by the way, I saw Daniel. the other part was finally seeing the batteries and walkie-talkies go out and gas going bad. I thought that was awesome, because it's just like finally getting to see resources like reach the empty mark makes me happy.
Yeah, and of course I had this one down to, why did I think I could steal that from you? Of course. What you didn't mention, though, is that we're going to have a storyline about it in the second half, which I think is cool. Like, finally, they're going to address not only that gas is going to go bad, but it is a story point. Like, it's literally like they have some plan in effect, you know, Clayton did, I guess, to, I don't know, somehow right. deal with the gas. I don't know how or why or whatever,
yeah,
the fact that they're that there is supposedly a reserve of gas that will allow them to continue, because otherwise they're down to horse and buggy, you know. Or converting engines to run on, you know, methanol or something like that, you know. All right. As far as I just had a couple, you know, most of what I wanted to say has already been said. You know, like I too love that scene with June and John, you know, proposing. I could totally see him doing that, and especially, you know, if they're about to die, and, you know, I wouldn't want to waste any more time either. So that's good. Hopefully we'll get to see a wedding by the end of the season or something. But to that end, that was all part of a bigger scene. And as preposterous as it seems that they were able to repair the plane in the first place and fly it, I enjoyed the scene and the tension, but I will also say that I have to agree with Mark on something that you're going to mention about the scene later. And I think it's in your weak sauce, but I saw you write it. And I'm like, yeah, I can't disagree with that one. So,
okay.
And the last thing, and I was surprised nobody wrote this one down, and this is kind of something I've certainly learned in my life, especially in recent years, that actions speak louder than words. So Alicia's point, you know, that she had, that they had to show those kids that they meant it, to finally, like, just talking about that, you know, they wanted to help, that wasn't enough, but to actually do something about it, that was enough. That is so true. So many people these days, and I've been guilty of it, will say, yeah, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And then they wonder, you know, why someone doesn't, you know, agree, you know, like take them up on it, or you make these promises and you don't fulfill them, you don't keep them. It's really when you do stuff, you stop talking about the stuff that you're going to do and you actually do it.
Yeah.
That's the important thing. So anyway, I liked that that point was so blatant, because I don't know, it seems to be a point that a lot of people don't learn, or they learn way too late in life, you know? So I like that it was brought up here. So, all right, weak sauce.
You're worthless and weak!
Well, Aaron from the internet says, as always, Morgan, I'm beyond sick of this character's turning to him each week like he's a know-it-all of everything. Alicia could have asked in general what was next and they had people throw out ideas with Morgan saying that was good instead of her asking him directly like he's their leader. I know the writers think he's the leader, but I personally don't see it as an OJ. Given we have Alicia there who should have been the next person up as a Clark, this series was about the Clarks, and if she's not, then they brought back Daniel. It's true that he's not around a lot, but if we're taking advice from random new additions, I'd go John over Morgan still, because he's just as good advice and speeches as Morgan, if not better. Again, I say nothing good has come from Morgan's takeover of the series that I can see.
All right, Aaron, I'm going to give you a homework assignment. I think that over the next 3 weeks, I think you need to go learn a little bit about Morgan. I think it will help you appreciate the character a little more. So what I would suggest you do is you watch 3 episodes. You only have to watch 3, and they're pretty much standalone. And I'll also give you a flavor of another character that we think you would like. But those 3 episodes are the pilot, Days Gone By, where we first meet Morgan, Clear, which is, I believe, season 3, episode 12, and then Here's Not Here, season 6, episode 4. Just those 3 episodes. They're standalone. They will not spoil the rest of the series for you. But those 3 episodes, I think you will understand Morgan and how much he changed from the character that he was. Those 3 are exceptional episodes. It won't spoil the rest of the series for you. You'll get a little taste of Michonne in there as well, in one of them. And I don't know. I think it might help you appreciate Morgan a little bit more. So whether or not you choose to do that is up to you. But I don't know. It's like you got so much hatred for Morgan. I feel bad, but like he's a great character. I'm sorry that you can't appreciate him, I know where you're coming from, but anyway, if you want to learn about the character, it might help you appreciate him just a little bit more. Whether or not you want to or not is up to you.
Yeah, they're really good episodes, though.
Yeah, they are.
All right, I'll continue. Steve from Oklahoma City, his weak sauce is Logan just leaving the factory after tearing it up. It should have seemed suspicious.
Mm.
Yes.
And I just remembered one other thing to say. About 2 of those 3 episodes were written by the Gimple. So,
of all things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Clear and Here's Not Here were written by Scott M. Gimple. So, all right. Deanna from Detroit, she has a couple. One particularly we kind of reacted to. The commercials are out of control. What the hell is AMC doing? Now I'm curious.
It makes me wonder because, like, I watched it on but I was kind of behind. I was watching it on my DVR, but it was still recording. But commercials were popping up in, like, the middle of, like, a scene.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I thought it was just because my DVR is a little older. I thought it was just that. And also because it was recording, you know, the show hadn't finished recording. So I'm curious if that was something that was happening on everybody, but.
Huh. So I wonder. Yeah,
I thought it was just my thing, but seeing her comment, I was kind of, maybe it was, maybe.
Now, how do you watch AMC? Like, what's your, is it Comcast or?
Yeah, Comcast. So my Xfinity box, the DVR. So, like, yeah, it was already recording, and I basically started the show about when it was already probably about 15, 20 minutes in.
Yeah. I wonder if, did you notice if those commercials were local or if they were?
No, they were national, I believe, because it was like, you know, Allstate and like, you know, just, okay. Or, you know, not a local commercial.
Yeah. Well, like I say, I watched it through AMC Premiere, so I did not get any commercials. But all right, so the next point she has, the walkers hanging on the plane. When two quick shots to the head could have stopped them that easily, what were they waiting on?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, why did they wait?
This was one of my weak sauces too, and it was just like, it just like they were spending so much time trying to like, I guess, kick him off and push him off. And then in the end, you know, Morgan just uses his stick and like, you know, John pulled his gun out and shot the other one. So it's like, I don't understand. It was like, they have a brain fart. It's like, oh, we have weapons.
Yeah. And it's not like, you know, that never closed up. It was kind of like, you know, an old time, almost like a, like an army plane or something, you know, that, yeah, that opening, stayed open throughout the whole time. So anyway, it's not like it was pressurized or anything. So,
right.
All right. Next.
Glennis from Toronto says, not really any weak sauce considering my 10 out of 10 score, but there seem to be bits cut out, probably due to time constraints. Example, Logan sporting a black eye and John and Dwight actually finding that car that Sherry supposedly left to be discovered on the off chance of Dwight seeing that message. Did Sherry really leave that message on the tree, or was it from a complete stranger and just confirmed that new and positive way of thinking that it's good to be alive? If you're reading this, it means you're still here. And John was certain that the car would start because of the candy wrappers on the dash. But nice hark back to John and June at the cabin, Fear the Walking Dead Season 4, Episode 5, and also, of course, Fear the Walking Dead Season 4, Episode 1, when he offered Morgan candy on their first encounter.
Yeah, I thought about that tree scene, too. Like, I ended up writing it in one of my, you know, down at the bottom of the feedback, but it was like, I rewatched that scene again, and I didn't understand it. Were they talking about Sherry? Like I don't understand, like, that if they thought that she somehow, or like she, you know, painted that tree, or it was just about like, oh no, we still have hope, we can do this or whatever. Yeah, it was a confusing scene.
Yeah. Oh, Sherry. Enough of that. I had the impression that it wasn't Sherry, that it was just a coincidence, but
it was just their dialogue, which was weird. It just came off sounding.
There was a bit of hand waving. I would agree with that. And I do also wonder if there were some scenes that were cut because of time. You know, like the black eye, like there were some other things too, like I'll get into in a bit, but I had a couple of things similar to that as well. I think I had them in my what sauce, but yeah.
Well, she continues on saying, I hope they have something of more substance for Luciana story-wise, though she is becoming more important since it was she who came upon Clayton in that crashed car in season 4, and he gave her the diaries. Very true.
All right. Next is LT from NC, and his weak sauce is the droopy cargo net on the plane. If that didn't scream Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible or Indiana Jones, besides, if you were going to try and use it for a tailgate, I'd have opted for the side to side method. Flying through the smoke plume. Yay, we just escaped the core meltdown, so let's fly through the plume of radioactive smoke particles. And then I guess they are going to start putting the walkers back in The Walking Dead. I had several grumps about the bad gasoline issue, but suffice it to say, now that I guess it's a plot issue more so than a chemical one, not to say that it isn't an issue in reality, but it is another trope of the show that plot velocity dictates lack of travel velocity. Plus, we had to get rid of Grace's truck, which not only ran, but had lots of equipment on board. Okay, so maybe I'm still bitter about the way they ditched the truck Abraham had way back when, but come on. If a perforated gas tank was the only reason they ditched an otherwise operating truck, and was the airplane that low on fuel they couldn't have gone around just once? That cargo net, which I think I actually mentioned later on, is just... I didn't understand why they even needed it, and it was an old plane. You know, it was an old plane, and I don't know if when it crashed, the back of that, you know, came off, and they couldn't put it back on, or it's just so that they could, I guess, board the plane faster.
board the plane while it's moving.
Yeah, but yeah, it was just I didn't understand why it was even there, and then of course it became the thing that was like they. You know, had a hard time like releasing it.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say to that I too kind of wonder about Grace's truck. I didn't put it in my weak sauce, but I did think it was kind of convenient that they had to ditch the truck. And it's like, why did she have to smash it up like that? It didn't make a lot of sense to me. And, you know, also convenient that she got stuck.
Yeah.
You know?
No, plus so, also you'd think they would learn enough that, okay, you don't have to hurry up because of these stupid zombies coming after you.
Yeah.
You have all the time in the world and, you know.
Yeah, I just felt like it's like it got somehow caught on the other car and she was trying to back out of it. And it's like, well, I think you could have just gone forward a little.
Yeah, it was I thought it was weak and I would have to agree, LT, with that. Whitney is next from Oklahoma City. She says the dialogue often falls flat, storylines feel forced and stay too long. The Little Prince storyline keeps getting brought up way more than necessary. Someone please toss it into the propeller of the plane and move past this. Thanks. And some phrases are so repetitive, I start heavily focusing on it. You copy? Stop it. I hear you copy in my dreams now. All right. So it's now time for our weak sauce. Mark, you have one, it looks like.
Well, just one, yeah. Adding that cargo net was really weak in the writing. It suited no purpose at all but to cause issues for everybody. It made me question, and when June was like attaching it and talking to the kid, and I kept thinking, why do they need this? They didn't state why they needed it.
Yeah, I agree. Well, my weak sauce was just, I guess it's the whole... Like, we had this whole, like, you know, getting contaminated, you know, part of the whole, you know, season so far. And like, you know, Grace made such a point that Morgan couldn't use a stick, but then in the end, he was all like, oh, can I use this? And she's like, sure, you can. And I don't know. It's like, I mean, Alicia, again, like, Grace was all like, oh, you don't know how much radiation was in the blood, so you'll probably be okay. But then, she made always such a point about, like, don't touch the walkers, don't get near them, you'll die, and blah, blah, blah. Like, ever. That was her whole point. So.
Yeah, it's kind of like they made the radiation in the end be like smoking.
Yeah. It brings up questions, though, then, too. It's like, then what happened to the people at the campground? You know?
Yeah.
How did they get so sick? Was it because of the amount of all, you know, because I guess they burned a lot of those bodies or whatever. So, yeah, maybe that was probably it, but
that could have been it. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But it was just kind of like, oh, Morgan, you know, like, for one, when he grabbed the stick out of the back of the truck when it crashed, I kind of was like, oh, really? You're not going to let that go, are you?
No, he's not. And then she broke it with her foot. And
yeah,
it keeps getting shorter and shorter, too. So soon he's just going to have a toothpick. So he better not use it.
Yeah. And that was the thing. It's like, well, is he going to be able to use the shorter version? And like, doesn't that kind of change the effectiveness of it? Because like one of the benefits of having that thing is that he has to, you know, he doesn't have to get too close to
right,
them.
Right. Yeah. Gives you distance.
Whereas this is, you know, not much. Like, I don't even think it's like a wingspan, you know, it's or an arm span, but it's not that long. So I don't know. I mean,
what
maybe
if he breaks it in two and creates nunchucks.
Yeah. Or maybe he's planning to, you know, like duct tape another piece to it or something. I don't know. But, or maybe he'll make another one based on what he had or so. I don't know. But anyway, the point that, you know, you've got the stick, you've got, you know, Alicia's, you know, radiation kind of, you know, a little bit of hand wave going on. But
yeah,
you know, I did think that it was weak, but at the same time, I'm kind of glad because I don't want to see her die, you know, so.
No, I know. It does give now more of a like, okay, she is not like, you know, going to die. Like,
yeah,
there's an out for her. It's
or
not like it's that bad.
Or she will die, but it'll be in 20 years or something, right. or something. So if that's the case, I mean, who cares really? Because she could die in 20 years from something else.
Right.
You know,
a walker.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the last thing that I have, it just was weird. Is like, you know, after the walkers passed Grace, like the truck, and then the one that came up and started banging on the window, and so it was like the whole herd turned around like at the same time, and it was just like they were really just on cue, you know. And it just caught me like that looked. It literally, I mean, go watch it again. It was like they literally, every one of them just like, oh, about face. it just did not look right. And it was convenient that they seemed to be far enough away, but that was it.
Okay. I don't really have anything else to add beyond what we already said. Although I do have some stuff in my weak sauce that is borderline also, sorry, I meant to say. I've got some stuff in my what sauce that's probably also weak sauce, but I wanted to say it in the what sauce, so we'll get to it then. All right, so speaking of what sauce...
What?
What do we have?
Well, Aaron from the internet says, so John and Dwight are 15 miles away from the plane, plus however many miles away from Sherry's car they were, and for part of that, they're on foot, but yet they make it back to the plane in time in that 30-second moment. Okay. At least Kyle can appreciate all the bad gas comments they made leading to that, I feel, with a smiley face.
Yeah, definitely. Now, I was trying to parse this, I think, on my second watch, trying to... Because I wondered about that myself, but what I gathered is that wherever they were at the time probably wasn't very far away, like let's say, you know, less than a half mile from that house. It's not said, but it's kind of implied that they're pretty close to it. So, you know, they're able to run there or whatever, certainly not going to, you know, just saunter over there. Do-de-do-de-do. They're going to, you know, get there pretty quickly. And it had gas. So, like, why they didn't take that car at the time, I don't know. But anyway, that's besides the point. But anyway, this show plays pretty fast and loose with time and distance, particularly the last, couple of seasons. But let's face it, this is a minor infraction compared to the craziness with time and distance that we saw in 4B. Like, for example, Morgan falling asleep in the back of a truck and waking up in Mississippi. And in the season finale, getting back to Mississippi, that quickly. I mean, I still can't get over that one. All they had to do was put that truck stop just like across the border in Louisiana, and it would have seemed that much more attainable. But that's two states over. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's an old point. I should just leave it alone. So I will. And we've got one more from Steve from Oklahoma City. He says, who is more believable? The woman on the radio, Logan, or are both sincere? I don't know. Maybe the woman on the radio, I guess. But, I mean, she could be pulling their leg, too, for all we know.
Yeah.
All right. Mark, what do you have?
What? Dan, the man, Salazar, is back with the group? I was really happy to see him, but it was a shock to me that he would be the helpful party to the group in their hour of need. I know he's a junk collector. He collects all this stuff, but I was thinking something else might have popped up at that point. And I'm sorry, but what about the plane takeoff? Morgan and John were buckled in at the time of takeoff, but the inertia of the plane taking off would have taken them out of the plane in real life. We didn't see them strapped in to anything.
And considering how they really like took a sharp climb as soon as they took off, that also could have been enough for those guys to fall. I would agree with that point, Mark.
And what's with Logan? He seems to be playing a game. I found it very convenient that he shows up after the radio broadcast from a lady after the plane had just landed and the conversation. I smell a setup here.
In fact, I just realized after I kind of agreed with you, that was the point, I believe, that I said earlier that, I love that scene, but the Morgan and John stuff, that was the point that I said in your, I thought it was in your weak sauce, but it's your what sauce that I kind of went, yeah, that is a little too much. Yeah. All right, Kyle, what about you?
I already kind of mentioned it. It was just about, did they think Sherry planted that tree? It's just that scene. Yeah. That scene, just the dialogue, everything about it, it kind of confused me.
Mm. Did you say planted that tree or painted?
Oh, did I say planted? I meant painted.
I think you did. Yeah, I kind of knew what you meant, but not what I heard. Yeah. Okay, so here's a point. So Daniel left to go take care of something back in Season 5, Episode 4. So what was it exactly? We don't really find out. Like, did that have something to do with related to letting go of Ophelia for some reason? If yes, that didn't make a whole lot of sense. Why would he have to let go? Why would he have to leave like that to let go of Ophelia? I didn't get that. And if it was something else, what was it? Like, what was he doing? That wasn't explained. Mm-hmm. To that end, why did Sarah go back to the denim plant exactly? Like, she went there to get supplies for the runway. Did she not check the warehouse? To me, that would have been the first place to look. I was a little light on the explanation. I didn't really get that. It almost seemed, circular logic there. Well, why did she go to the denim plant? Well, to get supplies. Well, why did she go there, not the warehouse? Well, she needed to go to the denim plant. Well, why did she go to the denim plant? To get supplies. know, that kind of thing.
You're right, because it's like when Daniel left them, they were in the warehouse, and didn't he say you guys can have anything here? And
yeah, so yeah, and clearly
Christmas lights, and
and Daniel went back and he got those lights from the warehouse. So why didn't I mean, you could argue that of course Daniel would know where to look. Mm-hmm. But I didn't hear anything to say that they tried to find something in the warehouse and they couldn't find it. So they had to go back. Like, it just, it was there for plot's sake. It was a way to reintroduce Logan into the plot, you know? Mm-hmm. So I just thought that was a little stretching. And for that matter, I mean, it's been inferred or, you know, bits and pieces have been explained, but it really wasn't fully explained until this episode. And that is, why did they take so long explaining why the area was untraversable? Like, you couldn't get there any other way but the plane. Now, mind you, we've said this before, but you could still get there, like, via foot or, like, even motorcycle, maybe. The point being, or bicycle, for that matter. Like, and it seems like, sounds like Sherry got out. And for that matter, if she got out, like, unless Dwight had been searching for her there before the hurricane, it doesn't make a lot of sense that, either she's dead now because of the plant, or she got out, but based on what they've kind of explained, nobody can get out. So that doesn't fit. Anyway, yeah. That's my point there. All right. So we have some sad / aw sauce. So let's move on to that.
Aww. Well, Aaron from the internet says, aw sauce, yay on Wendell getting his hero moment to shine this season. Mm-hmm.
And Aaron, just so you know, I noticed you did have a sad sauce, but I moved it to actually near the end of the episode because it kind of deals with what we saw, I think, in a sneak peek or the, you know, coming soon kind of thing. So we'll move it to the end of that. But mind you, it's still there. So next.
All right, Glenn is from Toronto. Her sad aw sauce is Dwight looking on as John proposed to June, and just prior to that, looking down at his wedding ring when the plane was about to take off. A silent look at his wedding ring to try and live a life as Sherry wanted.
Hmm.
Yeah, I noticed that too. I thought he was going to give it to them. But he kept it.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe he still hopes, you know, so... Mm-hmm. And if he had given it away, he would have, like, you know, given up all hope. And I don't think he should give up all hope. So, no. Dieta from Detroit is next. And I'll just say the last two because the last one's really short. Dieta says, just when you thought it was over for June and John, but they make it just in time. Then proposed to her with a candy ring. Gotta love John Dory. And then Steve says in a similar kind of thing, actually earlier, John and June talking via radio for what could have been the last time broke my heart. I guess it wasn't related, but well, it was related, but it wasn't anywhere near the same scene. It was kind of the awe to the awe. The sad part before the awe. Okay. Mark, what about you? What do you have?
Well, this is a bit sad, but I think this was brought up through Comic-Con because they interviewed some of the cast, and Alicia Demon and Carrie actually mentioned something about a shower scene. Now, they made it look like it was really bad, like, oh, this is controversial or something, but, you know, I don't want to sound sexist, but there wasn't really there going on. It's like, it was an interesting scene, but nothing too controversial.
Okay. So what was sad about it?
It was just sad that it's like they made it sound like it was like, oh my God, oh, and she looked slightly embarrassed, but I didn't see anything embarrassing about it. That's what was sad about it.
Oh, I see. I see what you mean.
Yeah, nothing, it was done tastefully. But I just didn't think it was that sad based upon her reactions. Unless that was to incite us to go, ooh, we got to watch this.
I thought when I read this, Mark, I thought you were sad because you didn't see your dick.
Well, yeah, it's honestly, it's like, to me, it's like the way they built it up. I'm like, oh, okay.
In a way, I'm kind of glad that I was wrong about that because, and let's face it, like, I don't know. And this is to be slightly politically incorrect, but there's like a thing these days where, you know, people can't like acknowledge any bit of a sex drive at
all. Yeah. Any sort of attraction.
She's an attractive woman. And, you know, I mean, if you had said that, you know, some might have like pointed you out as a, you know, a perv or whatever, but I like you're not. And I'm glad that you're not, but it just, to acknowledge the fact that she's an attractive woman, I don't think is a bad thing. As long as you're not like, you know, like gawking over
her. Or stalking her or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
All right. My sad sauce, or it was more awe sauce, was John choking up when he was talking to June and like telling her to promise to leave him if he couldn't make it to the plane. Like, there was just that moment where he kind of like choked audibly. I've always loved these two. I mean, again, after realizing that John wasn't a villain.
Yeah, not always.
Yes, but after. But I really like their chemistry together. I mean, it does get a little hokey sometimes, but really, I just like these two characters. But it also makes me worry that one or both are not too long for this life in this world. I get scared, you know. It's like they just got engaged or you know, like is there going to be a wedding, and then is someone's head going to get bashed in?
I hope, I mentioned it earlier, I hope that there is a wedding, and I would say definitely that was really an awe moment. I love to see it. And I don't think I have anything else, sad or, you know, cute to bring up. So let's move on to our feedback. We've been going pretty long as it is. So,
yeah,
we can talk about
it. Done talking. Time to listen.
All right. First, we have a voicemail from Steve.
Hello, Walking Dead Talk Through. This is Steve. And just a few notes for this, season, first half. Season finale of Fear, and I love how this show is going. I love that we've got our whole group back together, and I can't wait to see how they wrap it up. And Morgan using his staff was really cool, and him asking Grace, you know, can I use it? And she's like, well, in a few minutes, it's going to be moot whether you use it or not. But then at the end, you know, she breaks off the bloody tip and throws it out of the airplane and says, I fixed your stick, and gives us a little callback to Jesus there. I think it was Jesus, right, who fixed his stick in the Prime show. And so I thought that was really cool and gives Brian a chance to play his little music clip. And I loved Strand and Dwight and John showing up there at the end. That was really cool. But the previous scenes, we didn't even have, you couldn't even see that there was a vehicle approaching, and the way it looked, we should have been able to see. So it's a little suspension of disbelief there. I think that they were able to show up without anybody realizing it. And, love the idea that, Daniel is going to give Dwight a haircut. And, finally, exactly what were they looking for when they showed up there at the mill? And the only thing I can assume is that Logan had told them there was like maybe barrels of gasoline buried there at the mill, because at the end of the episode, he tells Strand and them that there's a, a refinery. There's a crew that Clayton had set up people to refine gas. But obviously that's not what he was leading the convoy to, because why would they be digging if they're not digging for oil? Anyway, so a lot of questions that'll get answered in the back half. Talk to you later.
Well, as usual, Steve, thank you so much for your feedback and your voicemails. All right. So, Jesus and Eastman at different times both fixed his stick. Like, I remember Eastman kind of gave it some balance because it was just, I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, his stick was pointed on both ends at one point.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And then later, Jesus took one of the sides and made it pointy. And that was something that he would use for walkers. And then the blunt side would be something he would use against people. So I thought that was, maybe it was the other way around. I don't think it was the other way around. So that's a good point.
His comment about the Logan, I didn't really necessarily catch that right off the bat either, because it was like he comes running back to our group, looking for the diaries, and then coming up with like, oh yeah, there was this whole system in place, blah blah blah. But yeah, if the other group know about that, why would they've been tearing the whole place apart and then digging? And then he got a black eye for it, you know?
Right. And so how did they come up upon it? And for that matter, how come that if Clayton had done that, how come it wasn't in his notes, that we already have?
Right.
So, or maybe it is there and they just didn't already look it up. Cause I mean, Luciana said we have it, and everybody's kind of looking at her going, what did you say that for?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It is questionable, I think. So, all right. Anyway, thank you so much, Steve. We should move on.
Yeah, and we got a little bit of feedback from Todd from Ohio. He says, do you really think Logan can be trusted? I don't think I do. I'm glad they finally got the whole plane thing taken care of. Wait a sec. It was a good to see Dan the man on the other side, but how? No props and other damages to the plane he had there, so how'd he get over the mountains? MVP Wendell for sure. Nose up. There was some last-minute skid mark generating situation there. John and June are the best thing ever. Peanut butter, meat jelly. Sorry, wrong show.
Now, that last part, that was from the trailer for Walking Dead?
The Walking Dead, Negan and Aaron.
Right. Yeah, that's right. One point you brought up, Todd, Daniel, he was not over the mountains. He was on this side of the mountain, the same side as Sarah and Wendell the whole time. He never traversed the mountain. So... just wanted to clarify that. So,
all right. Our next feedback comes from Dieta from Detroit. She says, the mid-season finale was okay, in my opinion. Nothing spectacular to discuss. We knew they were all going to make the plane and get back safe. We finally get some answers when Logan explains why the roads are so impassable. And what were Logan and his crew looking for? A map to a secret stash of fuel? Mm-hmm. Good question.
Seems to be, but go ahead.
She continues, I watched last night. The show hasn't kept my interest lately, so I tend to zone out, especially with all those commercial interruptions. And so we do have a new character. Joyce has joined the group, but for how long? Is that Grace?
She meant Grace, yeah.
Yeah. For Grace, yeah, that's a good question. How long? Because I thought she's dying. Like I said, this was just an okay episode to me, but that's about it. Thank you, Dad.
Aaron from the internet. She says, I look forward to your thoughts on the confirmation Alicia got radiated blood on her. And if you think this just means instead of living to 80, she only makes it to 70, for example, or if you think this still might be the end for her and thus the series. I know they're renewed for a season 6, but it really is anyone going to see it if Alicia goes out? I'm being dramatic, of course, as I'm sure everyone who's came over from The Walking Dead or fans who joined in for new characters like John Dory will watch it possibly, but you get where I'm coming from, I feel. So goes Alicia, so goes ratings to get you another season. I have to do that. I think that, yeah, I kind of made that point earlier. I think that it was, you know, maybe she might have a shortened life. But, you know, for that matter, everybody's got a shortened life in this apocalypse. So I tend to think at this point that it is not going to affect her in any way. I mean, it reminds me just a little bit. I'm just thinking of this off the cuff. It reminds me of, it was actually the episode before Here's Not Here on The Walking Dead. Thank you. The one that starts the dumpster stuff with Glenn. In that episode, we end up with a point where Rick, and sorry, Aaron, spoiler, you can fast forward 30 seconds. Rick is surrounded by walkers in the motorhome and, you know, the RV. And it looks really dire for him. You're kind of wondering, you know, how's he going to get out of this? And then we go a whole episode where we don't see him at all because of that Morgan episode. So it starts the following episode after that, and you're still wondering, you know, what happened to him. And instead, Rick just, you know, opened the gate, you know. So it was kind of yada yada. So it was, you think that, like, Alicia's, you know, like, going to die, and it's kind of yada yada. Oh, you're going to be fine. And it was a similar kind of thing with Rick. It seemed like he might die out there. It looked really dire for him. And then, you know, next episode we see him, he's fine. So yeah. remind me of that.
I wonder if it might take a turn to where that it'll kind of mess with her mentally. Like, yeah. you know how, like, whenever you, like, think about bugs or spiders and then you feel, tingling. So maybe, like, at some point, like, her hair comes out, but that has nothing to do with her, you know, dying. It was just, it happened to happen.
Oh, damn that, spot. Hmm? Kind of thing. Like a Macbeth.
Yeah. So we'll see.
All right. So our next bit of feedback is from Glynis from Toronto, and this is a pretty long one, so we're going to split this one up. So, Mark, why don't you start it off?
Well, she starts off saying, this episode shows the extent of their desperation and lengths that they were prepared to go to the end of the world, if need be, in order to help people. So Logan played on their emotions by gifting them a long-awaited task of helping someone. Really like the pacing of this episode and the rounding up of some of the plot points to make sense of the past episodes, where in some circumstances it was just a bit vague. Like why they had to fly to, quote-unquote, help Logan instead of drive, and why Logan wanted the factory so badly.
Yeah, and she continues, but where's Daryl on his motorcycle when you need someone to help lead the walkers away? Yeah, good one. This is reminiscent of the prison in The Walking Dead burning with that nuclear smoke blotting out the horizon. And Al's remarks when they took off in the plane that from Strand's point of view, she was talking about the sunset. But the viewers know better that she's actually referring to Isabel when she said, it's the prettiest thing I've ever seen since the end of everything. Also, that was the title of that particular episode. It's true.
Right. Morgan isn't having much joy with his bow. He should fashion another shortened stick to make a twin. Morgan would make a good stick fighter. I think he already is, for that matter. Although I know it's a completely different weapon style. Oh, like, I guess a dual stick fighter? Anyway, I know it's a completely different weapon style than what Eastman taught him. Nice. It was nice that Morgan and Alicia have found common ground and a new strong friend in each other to lean on and depend on. It's going to be nice watching Morgan train Alicia in the upcoming Fear the Walking Dead episodes. A Karate Kid sort of vibe. Alicia-san. I'm glad Daniel, aka Dan the Man, is back in the picture and reunited with a dog-like skid mark and just in the nick of time to provide those Christmas lights.
Strand and Alicia's moment referring to Madison that she'd be proud of both of them. Aw. Garrett Dillahunt is such a good actor. When he was talking to June on the radio, when he uttered woo and trying to get the words out of his mouth to make June promise to take off whether he's there or not, portraying how hard it was for him to say those words when all his being was crying out and not to send June on her way.
I want to stop for just a quick second to acknowledge that point, that woo, very much in character of him. And I like that a lot because that is also a very genuine thing to do. Like, mm-hmm. I think in real life, someone would kind of do that, you know? Yeah. So I really, really love that. And he's so good in the role.
He is awesome.
it's really, I still am really surprised.
I just wonder if that was actually in the script or was that something that he added? And I feel like it was something he would add.
It may have been something he would add. I could definitely see him adding that because, yeah, it would be something he would do. But it I don't know. It just felt so genuine and real. And
it made that scene so much more powerful and more emotional.
I was going to say that I'm still amazed by the fact that up until last season, he was an actor that flew under my radar. Like, he was someone I never took any notice of. The only time I ever heard him mention anything was that he was supposedly in the running for Negan, although I don't think that was actually true. But you know, there were reports about him, possibly going to play Negan, but I think this role is the role that's built for him. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's so good.
She says, another awe for John and June. It was so sweet. Literally a ring made out of a candy wrapper.
And I missed it before. I must put it in now.
Aww. All right. She continues on Daniel's reunions with Al. Daniel rowing Al on showing his tapes. Al keeps some secrets, but not others, out of necessity of whatever current situation they find themselves in. What else is Al hiding apart from the main biggie of Isabel? And then Daniel Jr.'s with Alicia. This was very touching, seeing Daniel after all this time and all that has transpired while they were separated, and her confession that they just trying to make better things happen. Daniel's reunion with Strand was Daniel confessing up to being wrong about Strand's intentions. It takes a Dan the Man to admit that you're wrong. Daniel's reunion with Charlie, and it's Daniel has got a foster daughter, and nice to hear him mention Ophelia. But still wonder how Daniel will react when he hears Charlie was the one who killed Nick. Or will all misdeeds, no matter how awful and wrong, be forgiven? Huh. That's a good question.
I hadn't even thought of that point, but yeah, that is interesting.
Mm-hmm. That could be really interesting.
Yeah.
That plot point of the forgiveness or tolerance is also going on in The Walking Dead with Negan, and of course in Fear the Walking Dead with what Dwight has done in his past.
We don't know if Logan can be trusted and that he won't just turn on them all and set his truckers on them and abscond with Clayton's diaries containing the replacement fuel formula. I think they're already halfway there with their beer making as that takes alcohol. Ooh, I hadn't thought of that, but that makes a lot of sense. That makes a whole lot of sense. Yes, somehow Sarah's beer ends up being, you know, powering the vehicles. So they could already rustle up some ethanol or hanker back to the stadium days and grow some fuel crops of sugar, wheat, or corn. I kind of mentioned that earlier. Intriguing that another new person is introduced / set up. Al's
new people. I like new people.
Always plays now in my head. Yes, it plays now in my head as well. Though Logan may have delayed that meeting, it's been a long journey for all of them to finally come to the understanding to help, but also live their life too. Well, to that, I would say thank you for your feedback, Linus, as usual. Some really good thoughts in there, so I must give you this. All right, we got one more bit of feedback, Mark.
LT from NC says, Logan looked pretty bad when he showed back up on screen. You guys kept wondering if we were going back to the denim factory, so I guess we get or got our answer right now. Of course Logan's posse tore up the place, so now we have the question of, will they help him or not?
Yeah, this is a good point to bring up. So, like, who were those people? And
right.
How did they come upon Logan, and, you know, why did they just, I mean, was that the whole thing that he went there to find this map and they were basically just, you know, threatening him, and for that matter, you know, if they didn't find what they got, why didn't they kill him off? You know,
right. That's
if they're that bad. I don't know. I guess, of course, we'll find out more in the second half, but these are things I thought of as well. So, okay, move on with our episode notes. Mark, doesn't look like you have anything. Is that correct?
Correct.
And I don't have anything because we got a lot of points from feedback. So thank you, everyone, for really covering this episode well. But you had one thing, Kyle.
Yeah, and actually, this is why I like all you, everyone from the Facebook group, all our listeners, and on your comments, because as we do this, I'm like, it makes me, you know, rethink some of the scenes that, you know, you guys bring lots of good points, because the whole woman at the end, my whole thing was all like, oh, it's like, here's this woman that is like needing help, you know, and the group's all like, oh yeah, we have somebody to help. But then she got caught off by Logan. And so I was kind of like, well, what's going to happen to her? She says she needed some help. It's like, are they just going to give her a rain check? But I didn't think anything about maybe that she might be a part of, you know, Logan's other group, or like, it was that a ploy, you know, like, I don't know. It just really, it's like, because otherwise it's just like, oh, that poor woman asked for help, but now they're on some other mission and they're just going to forget about her. Or is she actually, maybe she's one of the part of the Colton's group that's, you know, at the refinery. I don't know. Or whatever this thing is.
Yeah. I mean, it's worth saying that at this point, and Kyle, I know, when we started, when you started actually on Fear, season 3, you know, I know that we had made some changes in the format as we were going. I remember specifically it was with you. It wasn't even with, we had done a lot of the stuff with Ruthie, but it was actually with us, we started changing the format a bit, right? Mm-hmm. And that is that we switched the format of this show to this, what we call feedback first. So in other words, we are essentially crowdsourcing the episode. And everyone that, you know, I feel really proud of the format that we have. And I'm, you know, glad that, you know, we're going to probably keep this format going forward because I think it works so well. And I think it's really engaging to the listeners. They feel like they are a part of this podcast because they are.
Right.
And we're here to provide additional, you know, feedback. We come up with things maybe you guys didn't come up with, and we help embellish. But I want to just make a point. This, especially since our move about to happen, is that, you know, I'm really proud of the format that we have with this podcast and the Star Trek Discovery podcast. I think they wouldn't be the kind of podcast they are without you listeners. So I just want to thank all of you and thank you for your support, both in the past, currently, and in the future.
In the future.
Yeah. So, and this will continue as we begin our talk through media journey. All right. So let's move on to news, ratings, and info. So we get to hear from two dead characters.
What the hell is happening?
I have no idea.
All right. So we are going to talk about ratings. And for once, we actually have Talking Dead ratings to talk about, too. So I am happy to say, especially given the performance of last week, ratings are up. Fear the Walking Dead got a 0.48 in the 18 to 49 demographic with 1.599 million viewers. That's up from last week's 0.34 in the 18 to 49 with 1.393 million, which was the record low. And this particular rating exceeds the last two or three episodes. So this is great. I'm glad to see the uptick. Now, unfortunately, Talking Dead returned, and I think a lot of people, I kind of jokingly said it, but I think a lot of people forgot about it because it got probably the worst ratings it's ever gotten.
Yeah.
A 0.07, so it got a 007 in the 18 to 49 with only 373,000 viewers. So, you know, and that's, of course, at a later hour. But, I didn't go back and take a look at Nosferatu or anything like that, but it clearly, you know, has been suffering. Yeah, and just going back, just looking at the demographic numbers, at least, yeah, it went considerably higher. I think the last one that would have been around the same amount was episode 3. So it that's just eyeballing it, but. It did a nice uptick there. So as far as info about this episode, you know, don't really have too much other than to say that there was a Talking Dead, which I just mentioned. Also, and we haven't had it every episode this half season, but there was an Inside the Episode video. And I believe you can get to that on YouTube. It is there on AMC Premiere. I don't know for sure if it's on AMC.com regular, but I'm pretty sure it is. But it talks about some things in this episode. It's like an extended, like 11 minutes or something. It's a lot longer than a normal one because it has stuff about the season as well as the final episodes this half season. So that was good to see. And that's it for this episode. But we certainly have some information from that came from Comic-Con, which of course was over the weekend. And both The Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead had panels, and they also let out a little bit about the movie. So basically, we mentioned it already, but it was announced at the Fear panel that it has been renewed for season 6 we had, you know, talked about it. And we found out that it returns on August the 11th. So there is a hiatus, but it's only a 3-week one. So it's pretty short. And there was a trailer. So, and I thought it was kind of an interesting trailer. I guess it has a lot to do with this next episode. What did you guys think of the trailer?
I liked it.
Yeah. It was interesting in some of the little, like, it's almost kind of like they're documenting themselves.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Or, you know, making a point of like recording their stories and, but more maybe to like, share them, or like, are they, you know, I don't know. It's interesting that they, cause it looks like they're all like working together as a group and showing that.
It seemed like it was more of, Althea both, you know, filming them and maybe some editing of the stuff. So, you know, if they ever could, you know, show that to people, that might be something that would be shown to people. I thought it was kind of cool. Anyway, don't want to get into a lot of detail about that, but the way that it was done and the things that we see, I thought it was unique and interesting, and it made me excited that maybe the second half might be better than the first half, which we talked about it before, but that wasn't true last season. Did you guys see the panels at all? Any of you?
I did not. That's next on my list.
The panels were kind of, I dropped the videos on the Facebook group, and they were kind of in a different format than I've seen them before. In other words, when you're at the panel, they bring in like all the showrunners and, you know, writers and directors on, and they interview them, and then they switch out and they, you know, bring on the actors with like the showrunners only on. So those producers, but like, you know, the Gail Hinn and Hurds and the Robert Kirkmans and whatnot, they're off. It's mostly, you know, talking to the actors. And in this case, those in both The Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead, those videos were separated. So I didn't even like see the producers' videos until later. Like, I didn't even know that they existed until later, and I didn't get a chance to see either one of those. I saw the Fear actors, and that's it. I still haven't even gotten to watch the Walking Dead panel for either the producers or the actors, and I'm kind of ashamed. But Mark, you mentioned you saw them. What did you think?
They were interesting. They didn't really give out much information, but they liked answering a lot of the people's questions from the panel.
Mm.
So I found it fun just to watch them casually talk about it, but they, of course, they're like, I don't want to give away spoilers. So it was fun. It's always fun to watch the panels, even when you're there at certain cons.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Walking Dead one was interesting, but also sad at the end, which I'm pretty sure you're going to go into.
Yeah, and that part of it I did see, actually. So before I get into that specifically, a couple of things that I want to mention as far as news, and this fits into the first thing. It's at the bottom of the list, but I'll bring this up now. There was also a little like teaser about the movie and the, you know, at least the first movie. And the first movie will be coming to theaters in 2020. So I maybe said that too fast. Originally, we thought that it was coming to AMC, that it would be a movie that we would see on AMC only. It turns out this movie is coming to theaters. So it's like a full-on movie. Like, it's not just a TV movie. It's a movie movie. So what do you guys think about that?
I'm excited for it. Now, mind you, I already went to the movies and saw Walking Dead and Fear when I premiered last year with the end of, what was it, season 8 and then introducing season 4 of Fear.
Yeah.
And that was a Fathom Events. Now, mind you, the theater wasn't packed. It had a lot of people in it. It wasn't completely packed and, like, people, you know, overlapping.
Right.
And it probably wasn't advertised as much, but I think if they put the budget into the movie as a regular movie, that would be great.
Yeah.
But as far as lasting long in the theaters, I don't think that's going to happen. It's probably going to be in the theaters for a while, and then eventually I would see it coming to the premiere app.
Yeah, and they'll probably also show it on AMC, but it's worth saying that this is not a movie like coming to theaters like a Fathom event. This is actually in the trailer, or in the teaser trailer, I should say, at the end, when it's coming to theaters, you also see the logo of Universal. So it's a Universal movie. It's not just an AMC movie. It's like Universal is distributing this. It's not like a little Fathom event, like one night only kind of thing. This is like a full on movie. I think that that's great. I think that that shows that there's going to be some budget in here. I imagine that Universal is going to be, you know, is ponying up the dough here. You know, they're probably a big partner in this, and you know, like clearly they have had, you know, their whole like monster, what they call it? What was the thing they call it? And I know Kurtzman was involved with this. Alex Kurtzman, who's now with the Star Trek franchise. They were trying to build like a monster universe, whatever.
The Monsterverse.
Yeah,
Well, the Monsterverse is Godzilla. The one that they wanted to do was more of, it was similar to the Monsterverse. It was all the Universal monsters.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. They were trying to do like the Mummy and Invisible Man and, you know, like the old timey kind of horror things, but like also things like King Kong and Godzilla and stuff like that, like all the things that Universal had as a property. And now if they're going to be involved with The Walking Dead on the cinematic, I think that's great. And I think that might be like, if it's done well, and there's some budget to it, like serious budget to it, I think it might reinvigorate the franchise. So I don't know. I'm pretty excited about it. I think it could be really good. And yeah, I know one of our listeners in the Facebook group said, nope, not going. But
I'm really curious, because if, like you said, they put the budget into it and put it at a larger scale, it definitely will reinvigorate people wanting to see the show more.
While hoping, you know, I hope that they you know, put the budget into it, but they also don't forget, you know, the important thing about The Walking Dead, which is story and characters and that.
Right.
You know, if it turns into World War Z, you know, I don't know if that'll work per se, but I think if it's still like rooted in character, I think it could be really good. So, you know, it doesn't need to be a 200 million blockbuster, but you know, I mean, even if it's like 60 million or, you know, 100 million budget, I think still they could do a hell of a lot with it. And, especially coming from TV, they, you know, have a lot of that stuff, already like built, so they don't have to like build things from scratch, so to speak. So,
yeah.
I bring this up first because it was also mentioned, I don't know if it was at the panel, but it was something that came out around that time. Andrew Lincoln was scheduled to direct in the 10th season, and it was announced over the last couple of days that he will not be directing any of the season 10 episodes. He had hoped to, but they couldn't work it out during due to schedule conflict. So I imagine he was too busy with the movie, which, you know, is great. I mean, and I would think maybe he'll come back, you know, season after or something to do it. But, you know, sad in a way, yeah. But good in a way. Yeah. So it was Walking Dead's going to return October 6th. And for that matter, you know, if you do the math, knowing that Fear is returning August 11th, you do the math, it works out that I think it ends the 29th or something like that of September. So Walking Dead comes back the next week. So that's October 6th. That also makes sense because that's when New York Comic Con is going on. And that's something they've been doing the last few years, using New York Comic Con heavily. I know, Mark, you had gone to see the premiere through that last year, right?
Yeah, I got the free ticket through the Walking Dead Rewards just right. to go see the premiere and see the panel afterwards with Andrew Lincoln and Danai Gurira, and they had Melissa McCarthy and everybody.
Yeah, but like I say, it's kind of built into the Deer Comic Con, kind of using that as a good publicity thing. So it kind of makes sense that it would come back then, and that's probably why, you know, the hiatus is only 3 weeks, so it could kind of line up that way. It was mentioned during this, and Mark, you kind of alluded to it, that Danai Gurira confirmed that she's leaving the show during this season. I don't think it was really announced when she was moving or leaving, if it was going to be similar to like Andrew Lincoln, you know, leaving after a few episodes, or if it's at the end of the season, I don't know.
They didn't state.
Right.
It was pretty much her just giving her goodbyes.
Yeah.
And the way she kind of phrased it is that she is stepping away from the character on the show. So whether that means there was no mention of the movie, if she would be involved in the movies, but it could be debated.
The one thing that I picked up on, because I saw this, she mentioned like opportunities as far as, you know, like she's a playwright, you know, she had play that was up for Tonys and things like that. And it sounds like she's had some opportunities that she wants to explore. You know, maybe they're going to make a movie out of her play. I don't know. I'm not sure about that, but it could be something like that. It could be just, you know, obviously her role in Black Panther and, you know, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. No, I still haven't seen Endgame yet. So I can't really, I don't know what happened there, but yeah. So anyway, so we wish her well. I'm kind of really sad to see her go as well, but you know, we'll see how it goes. Hopefully she won't die.
Yeah.
But
I think they gave kind of a, if you look at that trailer for The Walking Dead, there are allusions and they talk about it. So I have a funny feeling in how they're going to, mm-hmm. have her go away.
So what about the trailer? What did you think of it?
I really enjoyed it. I there are a lot of things that were from the comic itself, but it's different characters, different things. They're actually introducing newer characters. So, you know, I'm anticipating those characters or those actors to be in this. The boat scene was something that I'm concerned about. So they're making it look like another character would be there, some sort of relations that are going to come up. So I don't want to be too spoilery or anything.
Yeah, and I don't have it in the notes, but you know, they did mention a couple of characters that are a couple of actors that are joining the cast for season 10. Mm-hmm. I know one was Thora Birch, who
yep.
I've seen movies and that. There's another actor, I don't remember the name, but I'm thinking this is also another character from the comic book, right?
Yeah.
Well, we have one thing that Todd from Ohio said in his thing, and I'm gonna cut some of this shit out, the stupid shit. I'll just leave it to, you know, because we're long enough as it is. So Todd from Ohio, he had a couple things that he wanted to chime in on. He says, I think my favorite line was peanut butter, meat jelly. I think we kind of mentioned that earlier, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
It seems to be covering some of the missing time, pre-time jump, but I can't be sure. One oh my god moment, though. I feel like it's too spoilery for even this thread, but if you're picking up what I'm putting down. Yeah. So anyway, I only got to see the trailer once. I feel like a really bad host here, but I've been dealing with some other stuff, so I only got to watch it once, but I will definitely watch it several more times. So. All right, so that's it. So this our how to interact with us is kind of in flux due to our move over to Talk Through Media. We will tell you guys how to contact us. We'll like release a little mini episode, kind of tell you how to contact us going forward. And but. There's some things that probably won't change too much, and that is we have our Twitter, and whether or not we get a new Twitter or not, that we'll probably keep this account anyway, but it's Walking Dead GSM. Obviously, we're not GSM anymore, but right. we'll probably keep that Twitter just for posterity. To join our Facebook group, that's probably going to be the first and best way to know how to contact us. And again, I mentioned if you're getting our feed through the podcast on whatever podcast client of your choice, when we make the change, it should be seamless to you. You won't miss a thing. It's only for those that don't listen to us that way that you may run into a problem. But to stay in contact with us, the best way is to join our Facebook group, which is at facebook.com/group/WalkingDeadGSM. And we're going to also keep the email address that we have, which is WalkingDeadGSM@gmail.com. And we're going to give you other ways to support us or to contact us and multiple things that we can't get into yet. Mm-hmm. But stay tuned for... like a mini episode before the hiatus is over, that'll tell you how to keep contacting us. Anyway, and our deadline for the next episode is going to be at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, Tuesday, August 13th. And you will still be able to do it this way, but the best way you can support us is by subscribing to us in Apple Podcasts or whatever podcast client of choice. Again, you should not see any disruption in your feed when we make the change, but you will be able to find us just by searching for the Walking Dead Talk Through. Once you find us, if you're in Apple Podcasts or some other podcast client of choice that allows you to rate and review or what have you, please help us out, especially as we make the change. And give us a rating or review. That'll help more people find us. And we are going to also announce in the next episode our Patreon. So that's coming forward. But we want to, again, thank Daryl and the Golden Spiral Media Network for 5 years of us being with you. And so we certainly want to, you know, if you found us through this way, we want to encourage you to support the network and, you know, just go to goldenspiralmedia.com/support. And you'll also be able to find other podcasts in the Golden Spiral Media Network by going to goldenspiralmedia.com/apple. Like I said before, the Star Trek Discovery podcast is also going to be moving over to Talk Through Media, but you'll be able to find us through StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast.com. Should also mention that you will find us through WalkingDeadTalkThrough.com once we make the change. Both those are still pointed to Golden Spiral Media, but they'll be changing over to Talk Through Media very soon. And that Facebook group, that is facebook.com/group/StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast. And we should mention, we're probably going to change the name of the Facebook group, but Ruthie and I have decided that we're going to maintain a single Facebook group for both shows. Discovery and Picard. So the name of it may change a bit, but the URL, which is facebook.com/group/StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast, that will stay the same. So anyway, thank you for your support during our transition over the next few weeks. And thanks again. Mark, what about you and Panels of Pixels?
Well, I'm still going. And you can still listen to me on Panels to Pixels on the Next Level Podcast Radio Network. So if any of you guys want to go and keep in touch on there, if you can't get in touch with us on the other ways, you can go to www.facebook.com/panels to pixels. So, or you could go to www.panelstopixelspodcast.com. That'll redirect you right to my Facebook page for that podcast. So you can just leave a comment, email, whatever you want, or message. That would be the best way if, you know, you couldn't find means to get in touch with us. We're still continuing on with our Jessica Jones season 3. We're wrapping it up. We got another episode dropping this week, and then the following weeks will be the final. We'll do the last 3 episodes, and then we're going to be moving into Preacher.
Ah, Preacher. Yes. Awesome.
Yeah.
I may come on for that one. That's a favorite of mine. So
yeah, we're probably going to wrap up, like, do a whole review of season 1 and season 2 before we get into the main season itself. So
that's coming up pretty soon, August 4th, the week before, Fear comes back. All right, cool. We should also mention that if you are listening to us in the past, an old episode, if you submit feedback through goldenspiralmedia.com, we'll still get it. They'll be forwarded to us. There'll still be ways to get back to us either way. But going forward, new home. Anyway, so our next episode is Fear the Walking Dead, Season 5, Episode 9, which is titled Channel 4. And we don't know who's written or directed it. The description is the group, traveling in a convoy, doubles down on their mission to help survivors. In an effort to encourage more survivors to reach out, Al, Luciana, and Charlie document Morgan and the gang on a dangerous mission to help a reclusive survivor.
It's a trap!
We got a little bit of feedback on this from Aaron. So, Kyle, why don't you read that?
All right. She said, sad sauce. This wasn't in the episode, but it was a part of the episode. In the promo for the second half, they show Alicia stick training with Morgan. Do they not remember her knife skills? Also, stop making Alicia's Morgan's puppy. He will never be a fill-in for Madison, no matter what OG you have buddy up to him, writers. You killed Madison in his name to give him the top spot, and we will never support him because of it. He is literally the face of the takeover, and I want to punch that face in between. Angry face. Goodness. I need some therapy.
Like I said, Aaron, it might help you if you take me up on that that Morgan therapy and just watch those three episodes. It might help you, but I don't know. So until next time, or, you know, you can continue hating him, give you something to do. Until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
And I'm Mark.
And this is Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Are you a podcaster who loves creating great content but gets overwhelmed by the audio editing process? Are you a business professional or an entrepreneur that wants to start a podcast but aren't sure where to begin? You need Pro Podcast Solutions. Pro Podcast Solutions has a robust suite of services to equip podcasters and help podcasters create better content than ever before. Visit ProPodcastSolutions.com today and find out how you can get your first episode produced for free. That's ProPodcastSolutions.com.